So far, the first two prokem of the Masechta have really been discussing when exactly Temura applies. From now, the Mishnayos will go into the actual laws of Temura. The exact definition of Temura, of course, as we have seen, is when somebody has already designated an animal to be used for his korban, to be used for his sacrifice, and he then makes a new declaration where he says that I want this other animal to be a replacement instead of the original animal which I designated for the sake of my korban. The law of Temura states that the sanctification does get transferred to the new animal. However, it never leaves the original animal, and therefore we emerge with both animals being sanctified with the exact sanctity that the original animal has. And strictly speaking, it should be that both animals will need to be bought as a korban. However, a very big issue which we will come across in many cases of Temura is that the new animal which has been declared a korban, the Temura animal as opposed to the original animal which had been designated, is not always able to be bought as a korban. One simple example would be if it's the wrong gender. We saw at the beginning of the Masechta that even if it's the wrong gender, Temura will still apply, and therefore it will gain the sanctity, but obviously it cannot actually be bought as a korban, so what should be done in such a case? Begins the Mishnah, Elu Kodshim She Valdusein Utmarusein Kaitzvohen. The following are korbanos whose children and whose Temura are similar to them. That means if it's a female animal and it gives birth, so the child will have the same status as the mother, or the Temura of the animal will also have the same status. And the first couple of Mishnah said this parak are going to go through different types of korbanos and what exactly the details of the Temura laws are, as well as what should be done with the child of a korban if it is a female korban. The child would have sanctity since it was born from a korban, from an animal which has sanctity. Vlad Shlomim Temurason, a child of a Shlomim animal, or a Temura of a Shlomim. A korban Shlomim can be either a male or a female, so the case of the child will obviously be a child of a female animal which has been designated for a korban Shlomim. As well as Uvlad Vlodon Ad Seif Ha'ilam, the child of the child forever, any descendant of that animal, and obviously this would be going via female animals, although the last animal could be a male. The law in all of these cases is Harelu Kashlomim, they have the same status as their original Korban Shlomim, and therefore, Utunim Smicha, they require the process of Smicha, which is when the owner who is bringing the Korban leans with all of his weight on the animal just before it is slaughtered. That is a process required when bringing a Korban Shlomim, and the same would apply when bringing the child or the Temura. That itself becomes regular Korban Shlomim, Unasochim. It requires the accompaniment of nesachim, which refers to the wine and flour offering which are brought on the mizbeach with the animal. Utanufa, the process of waving the breast of the animal and the thigh. The owner would wave it in all directions together with the koyein, and then the chozav ha-shoik, the breast and the thigh which they waved in all directions, would be given to a koyein. It would be given to the Kohanim who were serving the Beis HaMikdash at that time. Rabbi Eliezer says, V'lad Shlomim lo yikrav Shlomim, the child of a Korban Shlomim should not be offered up as a Korban Shlomim. Rather, it should be put into a small area and left to die. We wouldn't feed it anything until it would die. Now, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that according to the strict letter of the law, the child of a Korban Shlomim should be offered up. However, he understands that midrabbonon, they decreed that we need to let it die, because otherwise there is a concern that the owner will leave his animal for a very long time in order that the animal will give birth to children and the children will give birth to children, and that way he'll have many different korbanos which he's able to bring without having to spend more money on buying a new animal. Let's say he wants to bring lots of korbanos and he sees a way to do it by saving money, so he'll leave the animal for a very long time, and if he leaves it for a long time, he's likely to come to work the animal or to shear the animal. That's certainly forbidden because it's a sanctified animal. So due to the concern that he will leave the animal for a long time and come to violate its sanctity, Rabbi Eliezer says that midrabbonon, any child of the Shlom needs to be allowed to die and it cannot be bought as a korban. And that way that will cause people to bring the original korban shlomim earlier on. However, v'achom and v'achom say yikrav, it is offered up as a korban shlomim and they are not concerned about this. The truth is, Omer Rabbi Shimon said that even the Chachomim agree with Rabbi Eliezer about this concern, midrabbonon, to a certain extent. Leinechlaku al vlad vlad shlomim. They never argued about the child of a korban shlomim. Uval Vlad Vlad Truma about the child of a child of a Tamura of the Korban Shlomim. In that case, even the Chachamim agree Shela Yikrav that that animal cannot be offered up as a Korban. Because if he has left it so long to allow the child, even the child, to have another child, it's clear that indeed this person is leaving it for a long time in order to be able to bring more korbanos. And in that case, we punish him and we say that you cannot bring it as a korban, because ideally you are supposed to bring the korban earlier on, and not wait so long. There's also a mitzvah to bring the korban earlier on. One is not allowed to allow the next Yom Tov to pass, the next one of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, without bringing the korban he has promised to bring. So if we see that this person is indeed waiting and gathering all of these sheep, so then we would punish him and say that you cannot bring the korban. V'amanech loku, in which case do they argue, al havolod, on the child himself. In that case, Rabbi Eliezer omer lo yikrav. Rabbi Eliezer says that even the child of the korban shlomim itself cannot be offered up, because we're concerned even to that extent. V'achom omer lo yikrav. Whereas the chachom say that the child of the korban shlomim, that can be offered up as a korban. We don't yet see that this person is intentionally leaving it there for a long time in order to be able to bring more korbanos. There's no need to punish him, and we're not so concerned as to say that he cannot offer up the korban. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias gave testimony that they indeed had the tradition that this was the law, al vlad shlomim, about the child of a korban shlomim, sheyikrav shlomim, that it should be offered up as a korban shlomim, which is like the opinion of the chachomim. And indeed, Rabbi Papias added, Omar Rabbi Papias said, and he made, I testify, that we had, in my house, I remember, we had a cow which had been designated to be a korban shlomim, and that animal, after it had been sanctified and designated as a korban, it gave birth, we ate the animal itself on Pesach, and we ate the child of that animal as a korban shlomim on the next Yom Tov, which we're going to understand refers to Shavuos. And this is an additional support for the opinion of the Chachomim. Mishnah Beis, Vlad Toidah, the child of a korban Toidah, which is a type of korban shlomim, it's brought in order to thank Hashem for being saved from a particular dangerous situation. So the child of a female korban Toidah, Utmurasa, or the Tamura of a korban Toidah, Vlodon, their children, or Vlad Vlodon, the children of their children, I'd say for Olam forever. The Mishnah is going according to the opinion of the Chachom in the previous Mishnah, as opposed to the opinion from Eliezer, that the children forever can be bought. Ha'elu katoida, they have the same status as the korban toida, and would be offered up. They would require the wine and the flour, like we learned in the previous Mishnah. The only difference is, uvulvad she'inon tzurim lechem, except that they do not require the accompaniment of 40 loaves of bread. In general, a korban toida needs to be accompanied with 40 loaves of bread. It's learned from Pesukim, however, that only applies to the original Korban Toidah that had been designated. But the child of the Korban Toidah, or the Tamura, or the children of the Tamura, though the animal itself is offered up as a regular Korban Shlomim, and a Korban Toidah, to be more exact, it does not require the additional 40 loaves to accompany it. Now, the next example is a Korban Oilah. Now, a Korban Oilah is an animal which is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and it must be a male animal, and therefore there's no case, which the Mishnah is going to discuss, of the child of the korban, since obviously the animal cannot give birth. So the Mishnah goes straight to the case of Tamuras Eilah, the Tamura of the korban Eilah, and the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Tamura is a male animal, so it is fit to be offered up as a korban Eilah itself. Although Tamura does take effect even on a female animal, the Mishnah is about to say that we should offer up this animal. So obviously if we're offering it up, that means we're referring to a male animal specifically. Or in a case where it's Uvlad Tamura, it's the child of a Tamura of an Oila. In this case, the Tamura was obviously a female animal. And it gained the sanctity of a Korban Oila, although it itself cannot be offered up. We'll see what exactly should be done with it in a moment. But the male child of that animal is the child of a korban oilah, and it can be offered up. And therefore, vlodon, vlad, vlodon, sefer oilam, their children and their children's children forever, ha'elu ka'oilah, they have the same status as a korban oilah, and would need to be offered up. With all the same details as well, t'unin hefshet v'netuach, it requires the process of skinning the animal and cutting it up into pieces to be brought up onto the mizbeach, v'kolil lo ishim, and totally burnt on the fire of the mizbeach. Just like a regular korban oilah, the original korban oilah, essentially. Mishnah Gimel, what should be done in a case where we have a female animal which has the sanctity of a korban oilah? Like in the Mishnah we just had, where we saw that a tamura of a korban oilah, even if the tamura is a female animal, it still gains the sanctity of a korban oilah. But obviously it can't be offered up as that korban, so what should be done with it? The answer to that question can be found in this Mishnah, although the Mishnah doesn't address this case exactly. The Mishnah's exact case is Hamafrish Nekeva L'Oila, one who separates and designates as the original designation, he takes a female animal and he designates it as a Korban Oila, the older Zachar, and that animal then gives birth to a male animal, so that male animal has the sanctity of a Korban Oila. But even the male child, who technically could be brought as a Korban Oila, the Mishnah says that is not done. Rather, Yirachi is Toiv, it should be allowed to pasture and walk around until it develops a wound, which invalidates it from being bought as a korban, and then v'yimocher, it should be sold, v'yomu b'dom of oila, and using the money which they get from selling and redeeming that animal, they should buy a new korban oila, a male animal, which is a regular animal which can be bought as a korban oila. Now the truth is, the exact same law applies to the mother animal herself, who was designated as the korban oila originally. The Mishnah just chooses to state it regarding the child, since it's less obvious regarding the child. Since the child is a male korban oila, I could have thought that it should actually be brought as a korban. So the Mishnah says that even the male child should be allowed to develop a wound and then sold, and then the money used to buy a korban oila. All the more so, this is what we should do with the female mother animal as well. Rabbi Lozra or Mary Lozra says, however, who adds me to kav oila? The child, the male child, itself should be brought as a korban oila. Why not? It's a male animal and it's a korban oila. And the truth is, the opinion of the Chachomim requires explanation. One way of understanding the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, is that the child of the originally designated animal can never be on a higher level, as it were, than its source. Since it got all of its sanctity from the mother animal, and the mother animal itself cannot be bought as a korban, rather it needs to be redeemed, and only its money will go towards a korban, so too the child would need to go through that same process, and it can't be any stronger than the originally designated animal. Continues the Mishnah, a korban oshom is a type of sacrifice bought in order to atone for particular sins, and the Torah prescribes that a korban osham must be bought from a male animal. What happens if hamafrish nekeva l'osham, one designates a female animal to use it for his korban osham? It obviously cannot be offered up, and therefore tirach yistoyev, it should be allowed to pasture until it develops a blemish, which invalidates it from being bought as a korban. V'simocher, it should be sold, this is its redemption, and v'yovi b'domeh ha'osham, he should bring with its value, with its money that he gets for selling it, a new korban oshom from a male animal. Now, this definitely makes sense that the animal needs to be redeemed, and we should use that money to buy a korban oshom. The problem is, though, why do we need to wait for the animal to develop a blemish? In general, if there's an animal which was originally designated as a fit korban, it could have been offered up. So the law is that that animal can never be redeemed unless it becomes invalidated. Once the korban becomes invalidated, then it can be redeemed. As long as it can be brought as a korban, however, so we haven't got the power to take away its sanctity. But in this case, it's a female animal. Anyway, it cannot be offered up as a korban. So what does the fact that it has a blemish add? Anyway, you cannot actually, practically speaking, offer up the korban. So why do we need to wait until it develops a wound for it to be considered invalidated in order for us to be able to redeem it? We have to go through this whole process. Obviously, we can't give a wound to it directly because it has sanctity. So we need to wait around for it to indirectly get a wound so that we can redeem it. Just redeem it now without the wound. The Gemara explains that there is a concept that an animal which technically speaking is somewhat fit to be brought as a korban, it's not inherently an item which is totally not connected to bringing it as a korban. Something which does have some connection to being brought as a korban, as soon as it gains any level of sanctity, even the level of Kedushas Domim, where only its value is sanctified and really we should just sell it in order to use its money to bring a korban, automatically it becomes intrinsically sanctified as Kedushas Aguf, as something, an animal which has intrinsic holiness to it. And that's the reason why we don't just treat this as a regular item, let's say an object which was sanctified and designated for the Beis HaMikdash. In that case, only its value becomes holy, and we can just redeem it straight away. Nope, since this is an animal and it hasn't got a blemish yet, so it is treated as if it's got the sanctity of a carbon, even though it can't actually be offered up as a carbon. But since it does have that intrinsic holiness, we need to wait for it to develop a blemish in order that that level of holiness is reduced and it can then be redeemed and sold. Continues the Mishnah, Karva Shomai. If the person who needed to bring this carbon oshom already offered up a carbon oshom, for example, maybe he lost this animal, or he designated a different animal which was male and he offered it up, then there's no point using the money which we get from selling this female carbon oshom to buy a carbon oshom, because he doesn't need to bring a carbon oshom anymore. Rather, Yiplo Domei Halin Dava. And just to explain a little bit more, a carbon oshom is an obligatory sacrifice bought in order to atone for a sin. Once one has atoned for his sin, there's no longer an obligation and he's no longer able to bring another carbon oshom. There's certain carbonus like a carbon shalomim which can be bought voluntarily, so you can always bring the tamura of the carbon shalomim as a carbon as well. But we're talking about something like a carbon oshom. If one has already fulfilled his obligation, then he cannot bring a second carbon oshom. And so instead of that, its money should go towards buying a nedova, which in this case refers to public carbonos oila, which would be offered on the Mizbeach when there are no other carbonos being bought. In order that the Mizbeach not lie empty and carbonos are constantly being bought on there, there would be certain animals, carbonos oila, designated for that purpose. Now, after the whole explanation that we gave for why we need to wait until the animal develops a wound before selling it, Rabbi Shimon says, no, timochei shelo b'mum, it can be sold without a blemish. Now, the truth is, Rabbi Shimon agrees in a case where somebody let's say he designated a female animal for a carbon oila. In that case, Rabbi Shimon agrees that we need to wait for it to develop a blemish, and only then can it be sold. Because there's such a thing as a female carbon oila. For example, a carbon oila which is bought as a bird. A female bird is sometimes bought as a carbon oila. And therefore, even if he designates a regular larger animal as a carbon oila, and it's a female animal, since there is such a thing as a female carbon oila, so this carbon does have connection to a carbon oila. So in that case, he agrees with this concept that once it gains any level of sanctity, it would intrinsically become sanctified. And in order to redeem it, we would need to wait for it to develop a blemish. However, in the case of a carbon oshom, there's no such thing as any female carbon oshom for any type of animal. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that this animal is not fit at all to gain that level of intrinsic sanctification. And as such, already from the beginning stage, it can be redeemed without waiting for it to develop a blemish. Now, we mentioned that once one has bought his carbon oshom, he shouldn't bring, and he's not allowed to, he's not obligated to bring another carbon oshom because he's already received his atonement. So in any case of tamuras oshom, a tamura of carbon oshom, what should be done with it? Uvlad tamurasa, the child of the tamura, uvladon, uvladvon, and so for oilom, the child of the child, or the child of the child, forever. What should be done with them? They can't be offered as a carbon. The Mishnah answers, Yiraji Yistavu, they should pasture until they develop a blemish, V'yamachru, they should be sold, V'yiplu d'melin dava, and their money should go towards buying a public carbon oila, which will be brought on the Mizbeach when the Mizbeach isn't bringing other carbonos, no other sacrifices are being offered on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yomusu, these animals should actually be left to die. Just like a carbon chatos, we've mentioned a couple of times already, if the owner has already received his atonement with a different carbon chatos, then that carbon chatos needs to be left to die. That's a halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's a tradition which we have going back from Moshe Rabbeinu, which we received at Arsinai. And Rabbi Eliezer understands that a carbon oshom is the same as a carbon chatos, it has the same laws. There are many different Mishnayos where we see this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that he understands that a carbon oshom is always compared to a carbon chatos and shares many of the laws. And now we have a third opinion, Rabbi Elazar says, Yovi b'dmein oilois, he should bring with the money private carbonos oila. He himself should bring carbonos oila, he shouldn't just allow it to be for public carbonos oila, for when there are no sacrifices being offered up on the Mizbeach, rather he himself, the one who is obligated to bring the carbon oshom, he should use that money to bring his own carbonos oila. And this will be elaborated upon in the next Mishnah. But as it may, the Mishnah now brings a very, very similar argument. Oshom Shemesu Bailov. If somebody had a carbon oshom, and then the person who was supposed to bring it died, or Shekipru Bailov, he received his atonement with a different carbon. These are two cases where, regarding a carbon chatos, the animal which has that sanctity would need to be left to die. However, once again, that only applies, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, to a korban chatos. That's only regarding a korban chatos was this unique law, this halacha l'moshe b'Sinai stated, and therefore for a korban oshom, we go with the regular law that yerchi yistoiv, it should be allowed to pasture until it develops a blemish, via mocher, then it should be sold, via b'dom l'ndova, and the money should be used to buy public korbanos oila. Rabbi Eliezer says yomus, it should be left to die just like a korban chatos. Rabbi Eliezer says yovi b'dom of oila, that person himself should bring a korban oila with its money coming from him. Mishnah Dalad, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. V'haloi shuli af ha-nedova oilohi. Even the nedova, which is the opinion of the Tanakama in the previous Mishnah, that the money should be used for bringing public korbanos oila. So at the end of the day, even the Tanakama agrees that the money is going towards a korban oila. So ma'abin divrei Rabbi Eliezer le'divrei Chachomim, what is the difference between Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and the opinion of the Chachomim, of the first opinion in the previous Mishnah? This is basically a way of asking, what is the difference between a public korban oila and a private korban oila? In the case where it's bought as an obligation, this means that it's bought by the individual who's somech aleha. He needs to lean on it, on the animal, just before it is slaughtered. That's the process of smicha. Or maybe aleha nesochim, he needs to bring the sochim with it. That means wine and flour are offered on the mizbeach at the same time. And he's the one who needs to pay for that wine and flour. And if he himself was a koyein, then avodosa, its service, the oira, and its hides, the skin of the animal, shaloi, are his, meaning he's able to do the service himself. Even if it's not his turn to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, any koyein who's bringing a korban for himself is able to bring it himself, even if it's not his turn in the Beis HaMikdash. And as well as that, he can receive the hides of the animal. On the other hand, it was manshibach nedova, if it's coming as a public korban oila, enos v'machaleho, he does not lean on it, he doesn't do this process of smicha, v'ena mevola nesochin, he doesn't need to provide the flour and wine to accompany it, rather nesochem shal tzibur. The wine and flour will come from public funds, because it's a public korban oila. And afal pishu koyein, even if this person is a koyein, it's irrelevant, because he's not the one bringing the korban oila, avidos v'erem shal anshim mishmar. Rather, the service is performed by the people who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week. And likewise, the hides of the animal would be given to those Kohanim whose turn it is to serve in the Beis HaMikdash that week.